This is Abby Scher, editor of Public Eye magazine, here with Frank Coccozelli, who wrote a great article for the fall 2009 issue about right-wing shifts within the Roman Catholic Church. I wanted to get a conversation with Frank about what progressive Roman Catholics are doing about this. Frank, welcome.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
So briefly, why don't you just tell us a bit about what your article said about what's going on within the Roman Catholic Church?
Well, it's quite straightforward. It's actually a reverse schism that is taking place. I'm going to start out with a concept that I learned in law school, and it was called constructive abandonment. That's when a landlord wants a tenant out of a building, out of an apartment for some purpose to rent it to somebody with a higher rent roll, to increase his rent roll, to make it a co-op or to make it a condo. So what the landlord does is make the living conditions unbearable. They don't provide services. They don't provide heat. The result is the tenant quits the apartment and the lease is broken and the landlord could put in whoever he wants. Something similar, I believe, is happening within Catholicism, specifically within the American wing of the church. And there are traditionalists who never liked the positive changes of Vatican II, who are trying to make life unbearable for moderate and liberal Catholics, even conservative Catholics who might be politically conservative, but when it comes to religion, are very progressive. And there are numerous people like that in the United States. A lot of American Catholics are like that. And what they were trying to do is make it unbearable so that they leave the church and the church becomes a smaller but much traditionalist in nature church, much like it was before Vatican II.
And how are they doing that? I mean, what kind of techniques?
Well, we see it in the denial of communion for Catholic politicians that are pro-choice. We see it now with several nuns who are writing theses or have written theses who talk about maybe the non-sexual, in gender terms, nature of God. There was a nun in Milwaukee who was severely admonished by the bishop out there, and also Sister Akers over in Cincinnati. They're basically trying to quell any free thought in the church. The groups that are leading this are lay groups mostly. Opus Dei is one. They have a list of forbidden books. The other is the Legionaries of Christ. They're another group that is very, very old-fashioned. These are all groups that frown on dissent. Also in their stead are Catholic neocons, such as George Wiggle, Robert P. George, Michael Novak, the late Richard John Newhouse.
So what's at stake?
What's at stake is the church. And what's important about the church is the church made a very big leap forward in Vatican II. And
when was that?
That was in Vatican II. That was the ascendancy of Pope John the 23rd.
In the mid-60s, right?
1958 to 63. Mm-hmm. That was really when the heart of Vatican II, the best chance for reform was. And then followed by Pope Paul VI, who was also somewhat reform-minded, very reform-minded, but he did backtrack a little bit on the reforms that John the 23rd did indeed want. For example, birth control. I personally believe had John the 23rd lived, that artificial birth control for married couples would have been approved. As a matter of fact, many of the theologians that John the 23rd and Pope Paul the 6th put the question to overwhelmingly supported it. Ironically, there was a cardinal who went to Pope Paul, two cardinals who went to Pope Paul, and told him to disregard the advice of the theologians and bishops and cardinals and doctors that found that there was no incongruity with Catholic theology. And one of them later turned out to be Pope John Paul II, widely known for his traditionalism. What's happening is they're using these tools, biological tools, and they're trying to cut off dissent. They know that drives progressive Catholics such as myself and others crazy, that we're trying to bring a more open church, church that we believe that Christ himself would have wanted. And by cutting down the dissenters and cutting them off at their knees, it would make it less hospitable for them, and they'll leave.
Well, I saw when we were finishing up the edit on your article, there was a front page story in the New York Times about the Vatican and their allies taking on American nuns,
right,
as too liberal.
The nuns are the heroes of Catholicism right now. Right now, they are the ones who have all the courage. They're the ones who are standing up. You have Sister Joan Kidd-Ister, but you also have Sister Akers in Cincinnati, and you also have women, Catholic lay women, who are just standing up because they really have nothing to lose. And in the church, they've been just pummeled and disregarded to a very large extent. But they're making their voice known. They're standing up for women's ordination. I remember reading Father Charles Curran discussing women's ordination, and the reason why the traditionalists always point that only men could be priests is that Jesus chose 12 men. Well, Father Curran said that if you want to take that one step further, well, there may be only Semitic men because he chose 12 Semitic men. So I guess Italian, Irish, and German Catholics can't become priests. If we go to the Holy Land do we find those who are qualified. So, you know, some of their logic doesn't wash. Some of us try to point out that there are inconsistencies with history, the historical Jesus. I've used Catholic theology and history in my battles for stem cell research. I like to point out that a Jewish Jesus would not, you know, there's a high presumption, I should say, that a Jewish Jesus would not be opposed to embryonic stem cell research, because modern Judaism, all four branches of it, support embryonic stem cell research under the doctrine of Pekuach Nefesh. It would follow that a Jewish Jesus would follow Pekuach Nefesh. It makes sense.
So, Frank, also tell me what, we talked a little bit about the nuns. What are the progressive groups within Roman Catholicism today that are keeping track of this and taking it on? Right.
The one group that I have the greatest respect for is Call to Action.
Call to Action, so it's a national organization?
Yes, they have chapters in the many states. I don't know if they have one in New York, but I believe they do have one in New Jersey. A very courageous group. They've challenged church teaching where they think that it's being misinterpreted. They were one of the very few Catholic groups that openly fought against Proposition 8, things of that nature. They've supported Father Bourgeois, who has openly supported women's ordination, and they want effective change in the church. See, what Call to Action is about is something called magisterium. Magisterium is the teaching of the church. One reason why I'm a Catholic is Catholicism acknowledges there's inconsistencies in the gospel, that everything doesn't line up. And so you have to try and not get around that, but try and understand why there are inconsistencies and work through them. It's trying to understand the bigger message. The only problem with magisterium as it's now applied, and this is something the traditionalists love and want more of, it's all top down. Under John the 23rd, and to a lesser extent under Pope Paul VI, magisterium was also from the bottom up. The opinions of the priests and the local bishops and great authority was given to the local bishops. Magisterium teachings of the people were considered, which was a humongous breakthrough from a very authoritarian organization. Now, what they want to do is restore that ideal. That ideal has been taken away by John Paul II and by Pope Benedict. Again, they've returned to the Pope as almost royal interpreter of things, the man who knows better than the flock, who does not seek the counsel of the flock. And increasingly, that is the kind of religious leadership that is out of touch. It almost reminds me of like when Van Gogh was going to become a minister and wanted to work with his congregation in the mines. And then when he was told not to do that, that he had to be a person above and beyond the congregation, it's the same mentality. We're not trying to destroy the idea of magisterium in the church. What we're trying to do is expand it so it's more meaningful and more realistic. That's what Call to Action is about. That's what the Women's Ordination Conference is about. That's what most Catholics, I believe, really want.
One issue I learned from your article is that some of the more traditionalist Catholics are also extremely conservative on economic justice issues. And in the past, the Roman Catholic Church, those things weren't necessarily totally aligned. But in this grouping, it is aligned. So for the Call to Action folks, are they more economic justice oriented?
I would believe so. Reading a lot of their writings and the seminars that they've given, yes. As a matter of fact, one of the buttons they used to sell was liberal Catholic faithful. their followers of Ryan's doctrines of distributive justice. Yeah, they're very big on distributive justice. Wonderful. The problem is you have the Michael Novaks of the world, and so recently Father John Newhouse and Robert P. George, who are trying to interpose a laissez-faire style economic outlook upon Catholicism. I don't think that's going over too well in the church as a whole, but in the American church, they're trying to do that. And they're using biological issues such as abortion and stem cell research and homosexual rights to stoke that. In other words, to use the emotionalism to destroy liberalism. It's very sad because I believe what these folks, especially these American Catholic folks on the right, especially the neocon wing, is that they're trying to get control of the church because the church is a very powerful vehicle. Unlike Protestant denominations, it has a top-down authority that goes out into dioceses all over the world. It has nation-state status through the Vatican, and it can affect changes that no other denomination can ever want or imagine affecting change. And that's a very powerful tool to have in their hands. They know it.
Well, thank you very much, Frank.
Oh, it's my pleasure.